All right, so we are here at the Arts Hub covering 2010 elections, municipal elections, and I'm here with Peter Lopretti, who before was the councillor for 7 terms, and it's a pleasure to have you here today. How are you?
My pleasure. I'm doing fantastically well.
Wonderful.
Thank you both for inviting me.
All right, awesome. So first off, tell our viewers about your political career.
Well, I've been a city councillor since 1985. I was on North York Council. I was then on City Council, Toronto City Council, when the amalgamation came in. And I served the community for over 21, 22 years. In 2006, I was not successful. And therefore, I went into my professional avenues, and I've done well in the past 4 years in my profession.
All right. Having a legacy in the community, what do you think the community thinks of you, or how the community sees you?
Well, up to April, beginning of May of 2010, I had no intentions of running back for the election. No intentions whatsoever. On, I think it was the 1st or 2nd of May, I was invited to a small gathering where I was told that there would be about 15, 20 friends, and at Travelodge Hotel, right on North Finch Avenue. Mm-hmm. Just to discuss a few issues that had to do with the community. When I walked in, I was amazed. There must have been about 130, 140 people. The elevators were full, the corridors were full, the staircase was full. The room that I was supposed to be in, there was no room other than standing up positions only. And everybody asking me to return to city politics. I tell you, I was overwhelmed. I mean, in my 20 years of experience, I never, ever received as much love and affection and attention that I did in May. So I had very little time to think about it. I asked my family, what their comments or what they thought about this event that was held at Travelodge Hotel. And my family said, if you really like to go back into politics, we will support you. And that's when I registered to go in. So it was because of this event that took place, for which I honestly did not know what to expect, or I thought it was just a little gathering with 15, 20 friends that wanted to talk about maybe business opportunities in the community. In fact, it was one of the most memorable events that I had in my life.
Okay, wow. So what are some of the initiatives you're currently or in the past involved in that will be informing your work if you are successful?
Well, there are two aspects to your question. One is what I accomplished in 21 years, and the accomplishments that I've done was the one that I believe is the most significant is the subway to Jenny Steeles, to Killeth Finch, to Shepherd and Chesswood. My opponent in a newspaper article said that I was lying to people in voters because a subway will never come into this area. In fact, the subway was one of my projects for 20 years, and I was able to contribute. I'm not saying that it's my doing, but I was able to contribute significantly by always bringing the subway to its forefront, by lobbying the federal government, the provincial government, by being on TTC. So I've done an incredible amount of work for the community. The community did not appreciate this sort of work because they don't see any tangible results of a subway. But I was appealing more to the young people to say a subway is an important thing, not only from an environmental perspective, but also in terms of creating thousands of jobs for the next 10, 15 years, and spin-off jobs, because yes, if you are employed in building a subway, chances are that you're going to go and buy a car, and therefore you're going to provide jobs for other people that are making cars. Or if you're involved with a subway, chances are that you're going to buy a house, and you're going to spin off other jobs for people that have to build that house. So even the young people did not understand that kind of spin-off that I wanted to give to the subway. So I was not successful last election to parlay that kind of project into votes, because a lot of people, mostly seniors that lived in this area, said, well, what do I need a subway for? And so that's not that did not go the way I thought it would go. Other projects that are very significant and always to bring jobs in this area was the Canada, the tennis center on York University in Shoreham. I mean, I was hoping to have that prestigious sort of building where people from all over the world come to participate and be part of a very vulnerable community, very difficult community. And I tried some of those young people from these vulnerable communities to be part of this great facility that we have in our community. So tennis, the tennis center is my project, because I did it against the wishes of York University and also the wishes of the City of Toronto. Other projects that I'm very proud of is the soccer stadium at Keele and Steeles, where hundreds of young people from the community have a prestigious sort of field or venue for which they could go on. Mm-hmm. The community center, this library, this theater was also one of my projects. The Grand Ravine Community Center on Oakdale was my project. There are about 100 projects which I initiated despite the City of Toronto's support. Mm-hmm. These are not putting up a stop sign or resurfacing the street or fixing up a sidewalk. These are projects that nobody thought about. That mm-hmm. you know, I put it on for myself to make it happen, and so I'm very proud of them. There is one other project that that's very close to my heart right now, and that is the saving of the Finch Hospital. The Amber River Regional Hospital site, Finch, is scheduled to be shut down. And I mean shut down. If we're going to lose this hospital, it would mean that 230,000 vehicles that go up and down Highway 400, and if anything happens on that stretch of the highway, we'll have zero hospitals. On the 401, in opposition to the 400, you now have four hospitals. Mm-hmm. You have North York General, you have Scarborough General, you have the one here, and then you have the other one. So it just doesn't make sense that on the 401, you have four hospitals, but on the 400, you have no hospitals. But aside from that, I mean, the jobs that this hospital provides to people in this community is also significant. So you don't want to take that away from the people that are here. And what are we going to replace it with? Are we going to replace it with additional high-rise buildings to attract additional people instead of jobs? That's not there. But the very important thing, as I go around in the community and what people are telling us, is that we have a community that unfortunately cannot afford to have a taxi. Right? Mm-hmm. Cannot afford even a TTC token. Because if you have a family member that is hospitalized, let's say a Keele 401, A, you will not have a chance to go there and get a taxi to go back and forth to go and see your husband or your wife or your children. And two, if you're going by TTC, it's not that cheap either. Because mm-hmm. if you go there once a day, it's already $7. But if you go there twice a day, it's $14. And so a lot of the young people in particular that are not highly motivated to go for counseling, that are not highly motivated to go and get, be part of a therapy group such as drug rehabilitation or whatever therapy group that we want to have at the hospital. If it is a walking distance, chances are that they will go there. Mm-hmm. And we have high schools in closest vicinity that could access. But if they have to go all the way to 401 and Keele, that kind of proximity will be a deterrent or discouraging people from going and attending there. Mm-hmm. So once again, they're penalizing in all fronts. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, it's going to mean that everybody talks about Janet Finch being a community need. So why would you take a $2 billion, I'm not talking about 100,000, a million, $2 billion worth of economics out of this area and bring them somewhere else? It makes no sense. Now, you're saying, how can you, a simple Toronto councillor, insignificant councillor, going to save a hospital? It's right. But don't forget that I saved that hospital twice before. It was supposed to go to Kill and Shepherd, and I moved the community in opposition, and so we stopped that development. Another time was supposed to be moving again, and we weren't doing it. This time, I think it's going to be very, very difficult, but it's the number one issue in my agenda. I think that you need leadership. You need people that know what they're saying when they go to lobby government circles. And I find that I have that kind of skill, that kind of knowledge, to give the best shot to save this hospital.
Okay. We're definitely going to come back to the hospital. Okay. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions around issue-based and your thoughts. So the first one, what are your thoughts on policing?
Policing is a good thing to have, as long as they don't... they don't penalize the good citizens that we have here. And many times I have discussed this with the police department, that I don't mind having additional police keeping the peace and keeping the area safe and in tranquility. But many times I find that they are there to penalize a citizen, a mother, that is rushing home to feed the child and does not stop properly at the stop sign and gets a ticket for not stopping. I wish that we had the intelligence service in this community that can go to some of the difficult areas and work in those difficult areas to try to find out what is the problem and how to solve the problem. Not to give somebody a small speeding ticket. Like, I'm flabbergasted by the fact that the police department is on Shoreham at the entrance of York University, and they penalize all these poor students and maybe some professors that are going 48, 49, or 52 kilometers an hour in a 40 zone. I mean, that's not what I need policing here for. I need policing that will exercise their judgment in how to fight the serious crime and the difficult crime in our community, and less in the, intervention in very minor things. Now, that doesn't mean that I espouse that people can break the law all the time. But what I'm saying is, yes, bring us the police, but think of intervention first in the crime areas and in the difficult areas that we have, and then try to develop a relationship, try to develop constancy, try to develop knowledge. I mean, a lot of these officers don't live in the area, they don't. They love to work in the area, but they're staying completely outside of this community. It's nice to know that some young people may know the police officer for 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, instead of having so many officers that change from 31 division to 33 to 52 to whatever. The constancy is not there.
Maybe I'm not focused enough, but I'm speaking more around racial profiling, police misconduct. Some of the allegations that hasn't been seen through. I'm talking more about criminalizing young people and the criminalization of communities.
Yeah, it's a very difficult area. In terms of racial profiling, I certainly, I'm totally against it. When we collect data, it should not be collected by attributing things to races. If you want to collect data, you don't need that kind of collection of data. In terms of the police doing a better job in handling the situation, yeah, I would be very very critical of the police department. There is a situation where a young fellow was shot by the police close to York University, lives at Jenny Shoreham. and I've been in touch with the family and some of the friends, and I'm very concerned about how someone that probably stole a car or had had very little criminal and the need to have that kind of intervention, heavy duty intervention by the police department. I think that there is a need to improve the police image in this community, the police work in this community, and the community police relations are not at its best right now.
Okay. Next one, what are your thoughts on arts and culture in the community?
If you go on my website, I mean, I was very much active in the arts in the community. I mean, Yorkwood's theater was the first theater that provided every single year classical concerts. I mean, can you imagine having a classical concert right at Jane Finch, where you bring in a band with opera singers on an everyday basis. I would say in January, once or twice in January, once or twice in February, and once or twice in March. I remember that in January, we used to celebrate Verdi. In February, we used to celebrate Schubert and Chopin. In March, we used to celebrate some of the other classics. Mm-hmm. So in terms of that, I was very much active. I had a Downsview concert band performing in here, a 40-member band. We also had the some of the theater groups, the Canna Theater, which is a group that taught young children how to act. My feeling has been all the time that there's more raw talent in this community than anywhere else in the city. By meaning raw talent is talent that is natural to some of these young people. But there's nobody that is giving any money or any funding in order to make this raw talent a real talent. And unless you pay good money to go downtown or to go some other places where you have to spend a large amount of money in order to participate, these kids will never have an opportunity to do that. This is why I fought very hard to have this this theater here, so that we could have all these functions and facilitate the young people that wanted to be part of the arts and the theater in particular.
Okay. So what are your thoughts on economic and employment opportunities?
All right, so that is a very major concern for this area, and I explain why. The national average for the country is about 8.3% unemployment. In Toronto, it's about 9%. In the area called Jane Finch, it fluctuates between 23% and 26%. Let's take the 23%. Why is it so high? Because you have a lot of residential development taking place and very few job opportunities for the people in the area, specifically young people. I mean, the major problem is the young people that cannot access jobs in this community. Therefore, why is it that we continue to build high-rise development in this area? They just approved another 8 buildings at Finch and Sentinel 3 weeks ago. That means another 5,000 people are going to be coming in this area with car increases and everything else. So what happens is that there is this major problem in our community. Why did I fought so hard for the subway? I fought so hard for the subway to allow jobs to come in this area. Tennis Canada to allow jobs to come in this area. And everything else that I've done in the past 20 years was to try to bring balance in this community. I think that if the hospital is going to move away from this area, there will be $2 billion worth of collateral problems that they're going to create. Why? Because the hotel will suffer if they shut down the hospital. The plazas will suffer as a result of the closing of the hospital. Even the gas distributor will suffer because of that. What will happen to the offices? What will happen to the sites? Are they going to put in additional high-rise people to allow people to come in here? Or are they going to try to bring in, opportunities for employment, such as office buildings, et cetera, et cetera? Mm-hmm. So it's a major critical problem that we have in this community, and very few people know about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. What are your thoughts around the TTC expenditure? You've spoke about it throughout the interview a little bit, but how will we, in terms of employment, guarantee some of these jobs within the community?
If I was still in council, I would have put in that that prerogative that a lot of the employment opportunities would be given first to high unemployment areas, in particular the area adjoining where the stations are. Throughout my career, I've had this employment days where I brought in the major players of this community at the Driftwood Community Center to attract employers to come in. I had many discussions with York University. They first did not want to participate, then they participated. I brought in the police, I brought in the fire department, I brought in the hospital, the university itself, and many of the other apotheks, and many of the other big employers of this area, to come in and try to encourage young people, give information about their work and what kind of skills that's needed, and invite the young people in the area so that they could just drop in the community center and see what it takes to be a police officer, see what it takes to be a fireman or a firewoman, and get that kind of proximity. In the past 4 years, I've not seen anything like it. There's nothing, there's no bridge between the community and some of these high employers that are not part of this community anymore.
Okay. Now, some of these employment opportunities are gatekeeped by unions. How will you and your office be able to negotiate, community accessing within these opportunities that are gatekeeped by unions?
Mainly, I would say that I would be very happy if we could get this unemployment rate from 23 to 15% in this area in the next 4 to 5 years. And many of the people, unfortunately, are not ready to go into the unions. I have run a couple of schools in this area where people are attracted to get the job training, retraining for laying ceramics or doing drywall or painting or doing a bit of electrical, a bit of plumbing, and then be on their own to set up their own little business, to set up their own little entrepreneur. And that's what we've been doing for the past, 15 years. Did it work? Out of a school of 20, maybe 3 or 4 will start their own business, another 3 or 4 will go into the unions, another 3 or 4 will not have had any success. But all that contributes. Mm-hmm. So if I do a little, and the federal member of parliament will do a little, and the provincial member will do a little, and some of the other major employers in the area would do a little. Yes, we could rely on the unions, but we can do it on our own as well.
Okay, all right. Recently, we had issues around our schools being targeted for closure. What are your thoughts around Saving Our School campaign? A small victory has happened in the community, but we know they could come back. What are your thoughts on that?
I never believed that the school board would even fathom the idea that they would close a school. Sure, I mean, there are theatrics that sometimes we put into place in politics to bring attention to an issue or to bring attention to something else. And sure, the school board is facing a number of pressures, financial pressures. But to shut down a school in an area such as Shoreham or an area such as Blacksmith, it would have been totally against everything that we've been preaching for generations. You cannot mm-hmm. shut down a school. Let's see, maybe there is a way to reform the school. Look at what the expenses are. Do we need, let's say, a principal for a school that is only with 300 students? Or could it be a principal that can do 2 schools, but not shutting down a school? I mean, especially in low-income areas and vulnerable communities and very difficult communities, why would you even consider that? Mm-hmm. You know, this is, you need, these children do not have the ability to go on their own and go to another school. You know, the parents are sometimes very much scared that, you know, so they want to take their children to walk them to school, so they want to be with them. I think that it would have been a total and unnecessary stupidity to shut down schools in this area.
Okay. What are your thoughts on social housing?
Social housing is a major, I would say, a major challenge. See, some of these housing units were built in the early 60s. And in the early 60s, they were okay. They were beautiful homes. Right now, we are in 2010. So we have new technology, we have new insulation, we have new new roofing that can be put into place. Would it make sense to keep the same type of housing and try to patch it every time there's a problem? Or does it make sense to rebuild areas by area and try to make it much more livable, much more safe, much safer environment? That is the challenge that I think I will be very much involved in the future. It's a challenge that I like to see how we can improve it, because the City of Toronto spends an inordinate amount of money only patching up things in these buildings or in these townhouses. And I think that we need some sort of major surgery instead of treating cancer with an aspirin.
So a follow-up to that is gentrification's happened throughout the city. We've seen the positive and the negative. So we know that Jane and Finch, particular location within the Jane and Finch area, is up next. What are your thoughts on that?
As I said, I'm very open. It's not something that I can say that I have developed a great expertise, but I'm very open. I'm very open to consult with the community, to see, to hear the pros and cons, and face whatever challenge that we will be brought to us. As I said, the councillor is not an expert on school issue. It's not an expert on transportation issue. It's not an expert on financial issue. It's not an expert as to, there's a need to consult, to go and speak to people, ordinary people, you know, university professors, other experienced professionals in the community, and then you prepare a challenge to face whatever challenge you have to that you have to do in an intelligent way.
Okay. So poverty. There is a growing disparity between rich and poor. This community started off in the 70s, mainly middle class. And now we're seeing a huge shift. What are your thoughts on that in terms of not just when we say poverty, we're talking about the cutbacks in social assistance. We're talking about we're talking about a lot when we're, you know, lack of childcare.
Sure. You're not going to solve poverty overnight. It has been a struggle of mine. And I think I lost the election. I lost the 2006 election mainly because people did not understand what I was saying. In this community, you have a lot of people that have a lot, mm-hmm. and then there is a greater number that have very little. If you want to create a safe environment, you cannot continue with people that have a lot and people that have very little. Mm-hmm. You have to sort of bring in a bit of balance. Maybe this has to come down a bit and this has to go up. Mm-hmm. And only the way, if you bring in balance in this community, you're going to make it a safe, livable, and a great community. And as I said, a lot of people may not have understood what I was saying. Why would I do certain things? Why would I fight so hard for a subway, but I did not fight hard to cut the tree in front of your home? Or why did I work so hard to get a community center or Tennis Canada, but I did not fix the sidewalk in front of your home. You need to bring in employment opportunities. You need to bring parity in this community. You need to bring in people that are independent, autonomous, not dependent on government subsidies all the time. You need to give them the freedom to do it. And the only way we do it is to bring in, you know, the level up from what it is right now.
Okay. How are you going to do that?
Jobs, 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 jobs. Okay. The high school rate to drop out in this community is very high. So we need to address that aspect. The employment situation or unemployment is very, very high in this area as well. We are continuously building and attracting residential units in this area instead of saying to the city, forget about more residential buildings. Give us office buildings so people can go to work in these office buildings. My dream was I stopped the northwest corner of Jenna Finch for 20 years, not because I don't want people to live here, but because I wanted to bring that kind of balance in this community. My dream would have been, why build the Ministry of Citizenship and Immigration, a young shepherd, let's say, when you can build the Ministry of Transportation and Immigration rather Jenna Finch and the lands that are there? Why build a new hospital at 401 in Kiel when you have all the land in an existing hospital in York University that is going for a medical school right over all close by? Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense. There are people that have no vision in this community. They have no intent to make this community better. And I'm very ashamed that I'm part of the system, but I want to change the system. This is why I'm coming back.
Actually, my next question was going to be, what is your vision for the Jenna Finch and Ward 8 community?
My vision is to have better employment opportunities, to have neighborhoods that are safe and secure, to have people that, particularly the lower in the poverty line, to increase, to be better, so that they will be independent and autonomous, and if they have jobs. My vision is to see this community that that will flourish, that will be a community that everybody can be proud of, that they can walk and see the good things of this community, because there are many, many good things in this community. They're wonderful people, many wonderful people. These are the unsung heroes that nobody knows about, and yet they work behind the scenes, they work in the community centers, they work out of their home, they work out of their, you know, those are the people that that we need to show an appreciation for. And that's my vision for this community, to get schools that are good, better training opportunities. Try to identify young people that may not become the lawyers or the doctors of the future, but they may be the very skilled, the good skilled laborers in this area. Encourage those people that want to become lawyers and doctors by forcing York University to accept them as students, because as you know, and I mean, I'm not sure how much time we have, but one of my big fights was that York University leaves a percentage of people coming from all over the world, but was not able to put in a percentage of young people that come from the Jenna Finch area to go into law school. And I've been having so many fights with York that I feel like a pugilist, that I've been punched so many times that there's no more room to maneuver. And I remember speaking to the dean of the Faculty of Law and saying, yes, you have somebody coming from Hong Kong that can afford to pay $25,000, and you give them the last place in the medical, in the faculty of law. But what about this young Jane Finch person that had 77% as opposed to 80%? What am I going to tell him or his parents to say, sorry, there's no room for you at York University in the Faculty of Law? Mm-hmm. It's just not fair. It just doesn't, you know, you're part of a community. You have to be part of that community.
It's learning that equitable thing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's equitable. So this upcoming elections, we have trustees also that are campaigning. Are you willing to share who you're backing up? Both Catholic and public.
It is a very difficult situation. At this point, in terms of the public school, I'm very impressed with Michael Sullivan, okay. who was tried it before, and he gives me the an indication that he truly cares for this community. And I'll tell you why. He's by profession, he's a lawyer, and I've asked him, well, why would you want to leave your job, what you have, in order to serve in the Jane Finch area? What is the motivation? And I was stunned by his response. It was an honest response. He's saying, I want to serve this community because there's so much to do, especially within the schools, and to bring in what I've been talking about, the empowerment that is not there, to allow these young people to surface and to allow them to continue to build on their raw talent and what they have. And I've been impressed with him, so I will be supporting Michael Sullivan. In terms of the separate school board, it's a bit of a difficult position. I will be making up my mind up this weekend after consulting with a few people. But they're all excellent individuals. Anybody that wants to serve this community in whatever shape, whatever form, should be congratulated because mm-hmm. it's an honor and a privilege, but also a dedication, a commitment, and a passion for things.
Absolutely. So my next one will be about the mayor. Is there anybody you're supporting?
I'm staying totally out. I'm disenchanted with the mayor's race. There's some good points and bad points on almost all of them. I can't say right now that I can identify with one mayor in particular. Perhaps it's too early on in the election. But at this point, I really do not have a person that I can say, I support that person because he sees the same way. I mean, there are some people that speak the language that people want to hear, cut, save taxes, whatever. But then they don't see the problem that you're causing. Mm-hmm. That is that, you're going to put people on the unemployment line. You're not going to have job opportunities for people. And then there are people that talk about privatizations of hydro and other things, mm-hmm. and they don't see that water, electricity should not be privatized because these are essential services in our community, and we need to be in control. Mm-hmm. We are politicians that can be elected or not elected according to what we do, and if we don't do a good job, we can be booted out. Okay. If you give it in the private hands, who is accountable for that? Mm-hmm. Right? They can do whatever they want. So there are some good points and some people have bad points, but at this point, I'm totally not sure who I'm going to be supporting.
Okay, that's fair. So in closing, if you'd like to share with our viewers any thoughts that you'd like to give them, to take with them
sure.
to voting day?
I have had this great privilege and honor to serve this community for over 20 years. 4 years ago, it was a wonderful opportunity for me to stay away from politics. I went into my profession, and I was elated to work as a businessman and trying to understand or being on the other side of the fence. I invested very heavily in this community. I bought a medical building at Janet Shoreham with a couple of partners. I put in a walk-in clinic. I put in an assessment center. I put in pharmacy. I put in X-ray lab and whatever. And I've done fantastically well as a person, which gave me more time to reflect upon seeing both sides of the coin, one from a public service perspective, one from a private ownership perspective, so I can finally say, yes, I've been on both sides, and I can see the differences of the two. I care deeply for seniors, people that cannot afford to do it. So I put in a doctor at 35 Shoreham to allow these people to just come downstairs when it's cold, on a cold day, mm-hmm. instead of going outside and getting worse physically. They can have their own medical services and the doctoring that they need in there. I'm now in the process of expanding it to 2999 Jane Street, which is another senior building, 3680, which is another senior building. Just giving back to the community, and it's a pleasure to give back to the community. I've taken so much out of this community, so many beautiful experiences that money cannot buy. The Jane Finch community gave me an opportunity to bring an invitation to the Pope, John Paul II, mm-hmm. For the World Youth Day here in Canada. Jane Finch community gave me the opportunity to meet with presidents, with incredible experiences that I've had throughout the world. It's about time to give back to Jane Finch, and I like to give back this time.
All right, thank you so much for your time today, Peter.
My pleasure.
Wonderful interview. Thank you.